الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Today inshallah we have three issues and I hope that with these three issues we'll be able to conclude the discussion on Salatul Safar, Salatul Qasri inshallah. We hope that with these three issues for today, we'll be able to conclude the discussions on Salatul Safar. Al-Imam al-Shawkani said, Rahimahullah, Babu Salatul Safar. He said, يجب القصر على من خرج من بلده قاصدا للسفر وإن كان دون بريد. It's a قصر القصر becomes obligatory for anyone who goes out of his place of residence intending to journey. وإن كان دون بريد. Even if that journey is less than one barit. How long is one barit? Now, 100 kilometers. 150 kilometers. How much is one barit? 72 kilometers. So, one barit is 72 kilometers. I think we did that calculation in the last class. It says, Wa'inka naduna barit. Even if that journey is less than one barit, it can still be referred to as what? Safar. In the last class, we mentioned, why was he talking about barit? And we explained that the reason he was talking about barit is that some ulama took some ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about the journey of a woman without a mahram. He referred to those journeys as haram, alayhi salatu wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يحل لامرأة مؤمنة أو لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. It is not lawful for a woman who believes in Allah and the last day أن تسافر مسيرة ثلاثة أيام. For her to travel the journey of 3 days, in some reports the journey of 2 days, in some reports the journey of a day and a night, in some reports the journey of one barid. This is where barid came. They say because the Sharia referred to journeying as barid. So Imam al-Shawkani said, Rahimahullah, even if that journey is less than one barid, we can still make what? Al-Qasr. So even if the journey is less than one barit, we can still make qasr. We gave this some explanation in the last class. He said, Rahimahullah, وَإِذَا أَقَامَ بِبَلَدٍ مُتَرَدِّدًا قَصَرَ إِلَىٰ 20 يَوْمًا. If a person stays in a town, مُتَرَدِّدًا لَمْ يُجْمِعَ عَلَىٰ إِقَامَةٍ. He has not decided to stay there. He's just there. He's just there. I'm not staying here. He just came, a single. The Imam al-Shawkani said, Rahimahullah, once you stay there for 20 days, you will start to complete your salah. This is what he said. But we explained in the last class that it can be more than 20 days. Because this is based on the hadith of Jabir, hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, firstly, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed 19 days during Fathu Makkah, 19 days, and he was observing rakatein. Throughout, 19 days. In the report of Jabir, he said, radiyallahu anhu, or radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Tabuk for 20 days, and he was observing qasr. So Imam al-Shawkani said, that means we cannot exceed this limit. Ulama say, rahimahumullah. The fact that it has happened to the Prophet like that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it does not mean that those occurrences were limitations. That it cannot be or it can be less than or it cannot be more than. It can be more than. It can be less than. It happened like that to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It does not mean that if it is less than that, it is not allowed. Or if it is more than that, it will not be allowed. I hope that this point is clear. So they say if a person stays in a place for as long as he can stay, he will be observing Salatul Qasr. As long as he has not determined to stay there. Someone asked him, what are you doing here? I'm just doing something. I will soon leave here, inshallah, very soon. Be observing Salatul Qasr. So we said in the last class, how about that statement from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stayed in Fathu Makkah, during Fathu Makkah, for 19 days he was observing Qasr. Say, so we the companions, or we, I and my students, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, was talking, saying that, if we traveled for 19 days, we will perform Salatul Qasr. وَإِنْ زِدْنَا أَتْمَمْنَا. But if we increased, we stayed more than that, we began to complete that salah. Is that not an understanding of a companion? Say yes, an understanding of a companion of an event that happened to the Prophet Muhammad. So you can ask us, why now do you have a view that you can stay more than that? You see, because other companions have a view that is different from that. So that means when companions have viewed differently on a matter, you go back to the basic text. But when they have not viewed differently on a matter, or we only know the position of one or two of them on a matter, don't bring a second opinion. And there's a case regarding that here too. That Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma both view that if you are a traveling person performing salah behind someone who is at home, you must observe that salah for with them, despite the fact that you're a traveler. The two of them have this view. Ulama say, lam yu'raf ma khalafa qawlahuma min aqwali sahaba. It is not known that anything from amongst what you find sahaba saying on this issue contradicts these two people's view, that if you are a traveler observing salah behind somebody who is a homer, Musafir behind Mukim. Musafir is entitled to two rak'at. Mukim is entitled to how many rak'at? Four rak'at. You must pray four rak'at behind him. We do not know anything. This is what they say. From any other than Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar on this matter. So don't bring another opinion. Yes, there are other opinions, but these are from some of the tabi'un. So the stronger view here is this opinion of this companion. Radiallahu anhum. So this is how we understand that. Oh, so in this case now, if the person stays in a place for 20 days and he has not decided to stay there, I'm just traveling here, I'll soon leave here, inshallah, very soon. This is his mindset. He'll be observing Salatul Qasri. There are other views from Abdullah ibn Umar. There are other views from Abdullah ibn Abbas himself, radiallahu anhum. When someone asks him, look, I came to stay here in Medina. Medina! Walam ashudda stay. And I have not decided to move. I have lived here for 1 year. Say, this prince, rakatein, rakatein. 1 year, a person stays in a place, maybe I'll go next week. Maybe I can go 2 weeks time. Let me just stay here quickly and go quickly. Such a person will be observing Salatul Qasr. We also have the Asar of Abdullah ibn Umar, who was visiting Azerbaijan, radiallahu anhuma. He had to stay for how many months? 6 months, because there was sludge, glacier, or what do you call it? Snow, covered the entrance to the sea. One of the scholars I was listening to was explaining, he said it was like a mountain. So they had to wait for the snow to freeze off before they can proceed. He said, we are coming back to this issue, and the issue we have today. If we are determined to stay in a place for more than 19 days, the first issue is you are not determined. Be observing Qasr. Okay, what if you are determined to stay there for a particular number of days? How many days can you stay before you can start completing your salah? They use this as another evidence. So it was clear to him that snow cannot go away in 3 weeks. Perhaps 1 month. And he was still observing Salatul Qasri. But the reason he was observing Salatul Qasri was that Lam Yanwil Iqama. He's not staying here. Someone wants to come into Oshobo. He gets to Akuda. There is snow on the road blocking the entire entrance to Oshobo. Is Akuda his place of stay? No. So if he stays there for a year, as long as that snow is there, what will he be doing? He will observe Qasr. لأنه لم ينوي الإقامة لم يجمع على الإقامة. He has not decided I'm now staying in Akuda. I'm not coming to Akuda. So why will he be observing his salah full, even though he knows that we may not get here in 1 month, out of this place in 1 month? So they say the time that we begin, I've begun to come into another issue now, that the time that we can say we now start observing our salah full is not defined, except by the fact that we determine that I'm no more a traveler, I want to stay here. Is a ajma al-iqama, a tamma. When he decides to stay, he begins to complete his salah. So wa in lam yujma al-iqama, if he has not decided to stay, qasar salata, he will be observing his salah in qasar. If a person goes to a place he goes to stay, he will observe his salah full. If he goes to a place he goes to only fulfill a need and go away from the place, this kind of an individual will be observing salatul qasr. This is what appears clearer to me today regarding this matter. Fortunately, you will see that even the ulama have different views on this matter. One person will have one view and then another view. Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr in Al-Istizkar, he mentioned 11 views on this matter. A person comes to a place. For how long will he stay? If he decides to stay for example, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 1 week, 5 days, 4 days, for how long will he stay when he knows when he is going away? How long will he stay before he begins to complete his salah? Some amongst the ulama say he will stay for 4 days. From after 4 days, he will start completing his salah. This is the view of the large majority. This is mazhab of Jumhur. From 4 days. If you go to a place, you stay 4 days. After 4 days, you begin to complete your salah. Others say no, he stays 15 days. This is the mazhab of Abu Hanifa and his students, Imam Abu Thawr and others. They say 15 days because there's hadith of 15 days. Some say no, 11 days. Some say 18 days. Some say 19 days. Some say 20 days. If you stay for 20 days, from after 20 days, you begin to complete your salah. Or if you know that you are going to stay for 20 days, you are sure I will stay here for 20 days, you begin to complete your salah from day one. You are sure I will stay here for 20 days, you begin to complete your salah from day one. Some say if you are sure that you will be there for 15 days, you are sure, you begin to complete your salah from beginning. If you are not sure, when you get to the 15th day, you start completing your salah. So the views are varying. Before Ibn Abdul Barr, who mentioned 11 views, Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir mentioned 14 in Al-Awsat. 14 views. How many days can you take before you begin to complete your salah? Someone comes to Oshobo, for how long will he stay here before he prays full? If he decides, for someone who is being decisive, if you are not decisive, you can observe Qasr for as long as you stay. I hope that this matter is clear. We clarified that one in the last class. Someone comes to Islam, when are you going? I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. I don't know. Start praying constantly. You are Mustaf, you are not staying here. You are just fulfilling 1 week. Go here, go here, come back. Observe your custom. But for the one who says, okay, I'm going to stay here for 10 days. If he, from the beginning, what will he do? If he reaches those 10 days and he needs to stay more, what will he do? This is what we are talking about now. So for how long will he stay? The opinions are varying and they are many. Ibn al-Munzir mentioned, like I said, 14 views. Ibn al-Zilbar mentioned 11 views. The author of Sahih al-Sunnah mentioned only 3 or 4. He left the issue. And he discussed it well to the Ibn Allah. Because he made a tarjih that I'm so inclined to, and that is very similar to the position of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in his fatwa. Rahimahumullah. So what do we do? Let's handle this matter in two stages. Let's first of all understand the basis for the statement of Imam Shawkani. Then we understand the basis for whatever view we want to take, if it is not in line with his. Do we understand? Let's first of all get, why did Shawkani say what he said? Rahimahumullah. Muhammad ibn Ali Shawkani, why did he have this view? How did he come about this view? He said, rahimahullah, wa iza azama ala iqamati arba'in atamma ba'da. Iza azama ala iqamati arba'in atamma ba'da. If an individual becomes determined, if he intends to stay for 4 days, he begins to complete his salah from after 4 days. That's the opinion he took from those many opinions. And like we said, this is the opinion of the Jumhur. A person stays in a place for 4 days. From after 4 days, if you don't go, you are going to be completing your salah. If you decide, I want to stay here for 4 days. Or I want to stay here for a week. What does that mean? From after 4 days, what will you do? Be completing your salah. So this is the view of Al-Imam Shawkani. The question now is, how did he arrive at that view? How did Al-Imam Shawkani arrive at this view? Rahimahullah. Al-Imam Shawkani, rahimahullah, arrived at this view from a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, that anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qadima makkah sabihata rabi'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qadima makkah sabihata rabi'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Makkah in the morning of the 4th day of Dhul-Hijjah. He was coming from Medina for Hajj. He arrived Makkah when? The 4th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qadima Makkah rabi sabihata rabi'atin. In the morning of the 4th day, min Dhul-Hijjah. On Dhul-Hijjah. Fa'aqama biha al-rabi'ah. Wal-khamisah. Wal-sadisah. Wal-sabi'ah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his Umrah, although he was making Hajj al-Qiran alayhi salatu wa salam ala sahih, he stayed there on the 4th day, the 5th day, the 6th day, and the 7th day. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa salla subha fil yawm al-thamin. He performed salatu subhi in the morning of yawm al-tarwiyah, the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma kharaja ila Mina. Then the Prophet left for Mina. So these a'imma say, the Prophet knew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was going to leave for Mina when? On the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah. Yes, he spent 4 days. And on all these 4 days, he was performing kosher. They say this is what we have evidence for. That if a person decides to stay in a place, he should observe kosher for 4 days. There is evidence that the Prophet decided to stay for those 4 days because he knew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew the day that he would leave for Mina because he knew Ahkamul Hajj. So he knew he was going to stay for 4 days. He was determined to stay there for in Makkah for those 4 days. So that was why he was observing Salah full. So they say, if you want to prove that you can stay for more than 4 days and still observe Salatul Qasr, bring the proof. If you want to say Sharia has allowed you to stay for more than 4 days and still observe Salatul Qasr, bring your proof. So if you tell them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam was on during Fathu Makkah, he stayed for 19 days, they say Lam yujmi ala al-iqam. He was not decided that he was going to stay for those 19 days. It just happened that he stayed for 19 days. You can't prove that he was determined that I'll stay here for 19 days. If you say, oh, the hadith is authentic from hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on Tabuk and he stayed there for 20 days. They say, Lam yujmi ala al-iqama. He was not determined that he will stay for 20 days at Tabuk. Because it is this hadith of 19 days, he will say he was not determined. In some report, it said 18 days. This hadith of 19 days, say he was not determined during Fathu Makkah. It was a decision of, we don't know how this battle is going to be. This Umrah. They wanted to make Umrah and the people prevented them from it. During Fathu Makkah. That was Hudaybiyah. During Fathu Makkah, they came into Makkah fully. And he stayed during that time moving all around, doing a lot of things. Say no, he wasn't determined. He didn't know when he was going to leave Makkah. If you want to say that he was determined, he knew how long he was going to stay, bring the proof. But if you say, okay, you bring the proof that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that he was only going to stay for 4 days. They say he knew the Ahkamul Hajj. How could he have been performing Hajj? And he didn't know that on the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah he will go for Yawm al-Tarwiyah. He will start Hajj and go to Mina on Yawm al-Tarwiyah. So he knew. So they say he was determined, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to stay for 4 days. So you now say to them, well, he came in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the 4th day. And he stayed on the 5th, 6th, 7th. He left in the morning of the 8th. That is a 5th day. They say no. In that case, what you do is count those salawat. Count the salawat he observed. I think there are about 21. If you observe 21 salah in a place, they change the view. They didn't say 4 days again. They say if you observe 21 salah in a place, then you are entitled to start completing your salah. It is not a strange view. What is particular? Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir, he said, As'adu al-Nas bi-hadithi Jabir, Al-Imam Ahmad. The most correct, Ibn al-Munzir is a 3rd century scholar of Islam. He said the most correct view of those who understood the hadith of Hajj was Imam Ahmad. He took it to be 21 salah. Ibn al-Munzir affirmed it. And that is the view of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Asiyyah. He was extensive on it in his Sharh al-Sahih Muslim and his Sharh al-Sunan al-Tirmidhi. He was extensive, trying to defend the position of 4 days. That if you stay in a place for 4 days or 21 salah, because what would happen was that he came in the morning of the 4th day after Fajr. We understand. The most likely thing was that he observed Salatul Fajr at Asabh, as is in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. So after Fajr, before the time of Zuhur, he arrived in Makkah. So he observed Salatul Fajr and left. You know that would be the Salah of 4 days now. Do we understand? He came on the 4th day after Fajr. He left on the 8th day after Fajr. How many days Salah is that? 4 days. So he remained on the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th. He won't count the 8th. Because the Fajr of the 8th that he observed is the Fajr of the 4th day that he did not observe in Makkah. So they say Salah of 4 days. So if you like, say 4 days. If you like, say 21 Salah. This is the view of the Jumhur. It's an ancient view, it's not today. It's not a new view. Go back to Masadiq. Of those ulama who mentioned, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, he mentioned these positions. Although he mentioned only 6 or 7, but he mentioned this view of Imam Ahmad from this hadith of Jabir. The reason I'm saying it like this is that it may sound strange to us. Some of our brothers begin saying, what is what is that? Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi mentioned, Ibn Abdul Barr mentioned, before Ibn Abdul Barr, almost 200 years before Ibn Abdul Barr, Ibn al-Munzir mentioned it in Al-Awsaf, and others, that if you stay in a place for 4 days, from after 4 days, you must begin to perform your salah complete. I think this is the position upon which those who established how we observe salawat on orientation camps have based that opinion. 4 days. From after four, because that's the view of the majority. That's the position of Imam Malik. He mentioned it in Al-Muwatta. And that is the view of many amongst the ulama. Like I said, the view of the Jumhur. Al-Imam Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, this is the view. Many others. Atta'i ibn Yasar. And others. That if you stay in a location for 4 days, you begin to complete your salah. This is the same view that Al-Imam Shawkani is mentioning here. And like we said, what they say, the view is that Anna al-Muqim, the person who is a resident, they believe that if you arrive at a location, you have your bath, you settle down, you started becoming a Muqim gradually. Someone arrives, is resident in Lagos. He's coming to do a project in Oshogo. Let's say for X number of days, we don't know. So he arrives here, the company goes to receive him, they lodge him in a hotel, or they lodge him in their guest house, if it's a construction company, in their yard where they keep their supervisors and the bigger staff. They lodge him there, he has his bath, he goes for his lunch, he starts gradually going away from Musafir to Muqim. So the longer he stays relaxed like this, gradually he begins to take the ruling of someone who is settling down for residence. They gradually becoming resembling themselves, like somebody who is living in Oshogo. So they say, Rahimahumullah, and al-Muqim, the one who is resident, who stays in a place, لا يعمل معاملة المسافر. It should not be given the ruling of a person who is a traveling person. إلا على الحد الذي ثبت عن الشارع. Except for the limit that the Sharia has given. Don't say that somebody should continue to observe custom, except within the limits that the Sharia has given. For how long can he observe custom? For as long as Sharia has allowed him to observe custom. So when you now ask, for how long is that? They say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deliberately stayed for 4 days and he observed custom. So you too, you must not exceed that. So they say, أَنَّ الْمُقِيمِ the residents, لَا يُعَامَلُ مُعَامَلَةَ الْمُسَافِرِ. You should not be treated like a traveling person. إِلَّا عَلَى الْحَدِّ الَّذِي ثَبَتَ عَنِ الشَّارِ. Except upon the limit that the lawgiver has given. وَيَجِبُ الْإِكْتِصَارُ عَلَيْهِ. And it is compulsory for us not to exceed it. We must remain within that limit. يَجِبُ الْإِكْتِصَارُ عَلَيْهِ. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam planned to stay for 4 days, he stayed for 4 days and he observed custom. If you stay for 5 days and you are observing custom, who told you to do that? That is the basis for their view. Rahimahumullah. And Al-Imam Ibn Abdul-Barr, he mentioned the same thing. This statement I read is from Al-Imam Shukani in Ad-Darrari, his sharh on our matin. Ibn Abdul-Barr mentioned something similar to this also. So if you want to say you want to exceed, who gave you that chance to exceed? So this is the view of Al-Imam Shukani. And this was where he got the view from. Sharia has allowed you, if you stay for 4 days, observe kafir. If you want to increase for more than 4 days, don't observe kafir. But don't forget, we said this is one out of 14 opinions. Some say it is 19. They say, oh, if you want to say it is 19, what is the proof that the Prophet determined to stay for those 19 days? So with that, they will eliminate those other views. Rahimahumullah. So this is how this matter has gone amongst ulama. But ikhwah, some others amongst them, like Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, has mentioned something different from this. And that thing is very, very attractive if you study those texts and the arguments. And Allah knows best. I used to believe that it is for 19 days as it's in the hadith of Ibn Abbas. But you find out that that is ijtihad of Ibn Abbas. Others amongst the companions have ijtihad. So no one person's ijtihad is evidence against the others. Amongst the companions, they have viewed differently. So it means the matter requires some greater attention. But let us look at this statement from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. It occurs in his Fatawa, the 18th volume, Ma'azirata'an, the 24th volume, page 18. It occurs in the 24th volume of Al-Fatawa, page 18. He says, Rahimahullah, وَأَمَّا مَنْ تَبَيَّنَتْ لَهُ السُّنَّةِ. As for the individual that the Sunnah is clear, he has gone to see all these texts. وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And he knows that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لَمْ يَشْرَعْ لِلْمُسَافِرِ أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ إِلَّا رَكْعَتَيْنِ. He knows this kind of a person is upon knowledge. He knows that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has not established that a traveling person should observe more than 2 rak'ahs. وَلَمْ يَحُدَّ السَّفَرَ بِزَمَانٍ. This person also knows that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say the time that you can observe qasr is if you travel in the morning, or if you travel in the afternoon, or if you travel in the night. He did not give this kind of definition. Aw bimakani. Neither did he say if you travel a journey of 50 kilometers, that is when you should observe qasr. He left the matter open. Wala hadd al iqama. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say anybody who travels for more than 4 days, you travel and stay in a location for more than 4 days, from after 4 days you should begin to complete your salah. The Prophet didn't say that sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he has an action that indicates that. But that action is not a restrictive. He stayed for 4 days. That's why some others say, look here, he stayed for 19 days too. If it is what he did that he wants, he stayed for 4 days, he stayed for 19 days. He stayed for 15 days, he stayed for 20 days. What it means is that he has not given a limit on how long you should stay before you complete your salah. If a person has this kind of knowledge. وَلَا حَدَّ الْإِقَامَةَ أَيْضًا. The Prophet did not restrict, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how long you can stay before you begin to complete your salah, if you are observing salatul qasr, bi zamanin mahdud. He did not limit it to any particular time. La salasa. He did not limit it to 3 days. Wala arba'a. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not limit it to 4 days. Wala sna'ashara. He did not limit it to 12 days. وَلَا خَمْسَةَ. He did not limit sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to 15 days. فَإِنَّهُ يَقْسُرُ. This kind of person should be observing qasr. He says, كَمَا كَانَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ يَفْعَلُ. Just like many amongst the salaf will do. That is, when you are on a journey, I'm still traveling, I'm on a journey. You're observing your cost. What if I stay for more than 4 days? I can still observe my cost. As long as I am not determined to stay here, I'll be observing my cost. And if I determine to stay here, then I become a muki. At that time, what will change? The ruling will change because I stop being a musafir. A man leaves Oshogbo to go and live in Kaduna. He knows I'm going to live in Kaduna now. I'm not living in Oshogbo again. When he gets to Kaduna from day one, what will he be doing? He'll marry Salat. Food. I've come to live here. I've come to stay here. If he has not come to stay, but he has only come to visit, for as long as he's just visiting, say, he goes away, this kind of a person will be observing also. Because we have only two sets of people. We have Mukim and what? Musafir. What differentiates them is what the individual sees himself as. I'm traveling, I'm not staying here. Somebody can see you 1 week, 2 weeks. You started living in Oshogbo now. What will you tell the person? If you are a resident, what will you tell the person? Say, yes, I'm standing here. The next thing he will ask is, which house, where? You say, Lona, okay, you start describing. I've not known the place very well, but it's like this. If you go, there's one mosque called Isla Udin. If you turn left, this is resident. But if you have come not to stay, they say, oh, Afa, you are not living in Oshogbo. What will you say? Say, no, I'm not staying. At that time, you should be observing custom. This is what this Imam is saying, Rahimahullah. كما كان غير واحد من السلف يفعل as many amongst many more than one amongst the salaf did حتى كان مسروق. In fact, to the extent that al-imam Masruq ibn al-Ajda, one of the students of Abdullah ibn Masruq, qad wallahu wilayatan, he was, the king made him to be the wali, like a governor in the area. Lam yakun yakhtaruha, but he did not want it. So he said that, let me just be going there and coming. Fa aqama sinin yaqsur. Because of that, he stayed many years there. He was observing custom. Masruq ibn al-Ajda. He was appointed wali of a place, but he didn't want to stay there. He didn't also want that position. But you know, you must follow the Amir. It's not like today. You follow the ruler. Although even today, that is difficult to reject. General Buhari says, or President Buhari, don't say General Buhari, or say what? President Buhari. He appoints you. Hey, you. Go and be the governor. In those days, they used to appoint governors. It's not government of the people, by the people. And no, the Amir will appoint somebody as wali. You go and be the wali. Wali means governor. You governor. And the states were bigger than our own state. Places like Basra, Kufa were bigger than places southwest. Big region. So you go to Yemen, be the wali there. The same way they say, oh, you go and be the qadi there. Go and be qadi. Go and be the judge. You appoint the judges in those regions. So the man went, but he didn't, it wasn't upon his own opinion. He didn't want to go there. Let's go. So he went. So he did not intend to stay there. So he saw himself like someone who would just be here for a little while. But he was there for years. And throughout the years, he was observing custom. This is what Ibn Taymiyyah says, rahimahullah. He says, وَقَدْ أَقَامَ الْمُسْلِمُ. He said, the Muslims had stayed in Nahawind. It's one of the areas in the Indo-Pakistani subcontinent. سَنَةً أَوْ سِتَّةَ أَشْهُرٍ. They stayed there in 6 months. يَقْصُرُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. throughout the period that they were there, they were observing Salatul Qasr. وَكَانُوا يَكْسُرُونَ الصَّلَاةَ مَعْ إِلْمِهِمْ أَنَّ حَاجَتَهُمْ لَا تَنْقَضِي فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ. They were aware that the reason for which they came would not be resolved in 4 days. Yet they were observing Salatul Qasr. Because they did not understand that Prophet stay for 4 days as a restrictive text. They saw it as something that just happened. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wala akthar. So they did not say even more than 4 days was a restrictive. There is no restrictive text that says it is until you stay for 4 days. No. It is until you determine to stay. I'm now staying here now. Aha. How many brothers will you see? Brother, you are now living in, for example, Ilorin. He was living in Ife. You knew him. Now, brother, you are now in Ife. I say, yes. What are you doing now? Here. He said, I'm working with so place, so I have moved. He will tell you that he has moved. I'm now staying here. For how long have you stayed? He can start telling you 1 month, 2 months. This is a residence. Well, he asked him, brother, are you now here in Ilorin or in Ijebu or in Adokuta, wherever? He said, no, I'm not here. I'm not staying here. So what I mean is I just quickly came for so. If you go for Hajj, many people will ask you this question. Many of us. Some people will think that we are students in Jamia Islamiyah. You see, you are students here, saying, no. You just came for us, say yes. So you see, we are different. The first one is the resident. The second one is still the Musafir. To be observing Salatul Qasr. Except if we observe those Salah behind the Imams in the two masjid, then we pray according to the prayer of the leading Imam. If he prays 4 rakats, we pray 4 rakats. If he prays 2 rakats, we pray 2 rakats. As the case may be. It says, كَمَا قَوْمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَصْحَابُهُ بَعْدَ فَتْحِ مَكَّةَ قَرِيبًا مِنْ 20 يَوْمًا. Just like the Prophet himself stayed for about 20 days. عليه الصلاة والسلام. يَقْصُرُونَ الصَّلَاة. You see now, Ibn Taymiyyah will not say, it was because he did not determine to stay. He will tell you, what about that? The matter is that he stayed there for 20 days, and for 19 days, or 18 days. And for throughout this period, he was having Salatul Qasr. وَأَقَمُوا بِمَكَّةَ عَشْرَةَ أَيَّامٍ يُفْتِرُونَ فِي رَمَضَانِ. Yes, he came in Ramadan. He stayed in Mecca for 10 days. And they were observing iftar in Ramadan, meaning that their salatu, they were eligible for Salatul Qasr. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ لَمَّا فَتَحَ مَكَّةَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ يَحْتَاجُ أَنْ يُكِيمَ بِهَا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ 4 أَيَّامٍ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Fath Makkah, when he stayed 19 days, he knew that he would stay for more than 4 days, because 4 days will not be sufficient to settle down the people you have just become triumph over them. He just got power over them from Allah in Makkah. So he knew he was going to stay for more than 4 days. Don't say he stayed in 19 days. He didn't know he was going to stay. He knew. Because 4 days was small to arrange everything he needed to arrange in Makkah. So he knew he would stay for more than 4 days. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa idha kana tahdidu la asla lahu. Ibn Taymiyyah says, rahimahullah. Since limiting the stay does not have any basis in the Sharia. فَمَا دَامَ الْمُسَافِرُ مُسَافِرًا. As long as a musafir is musafir, يَقْصُرُ الصَّلَاةِ. He will be observing his salah in what? In Qasr. وَلَوْ أَقَامَ فِي مَكَانٍ شُهُورًا. Even if he stays in a location for months. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Says, كَتَبَهُ أَحْمَدِ بْنُ تَيْمِيَةَ. I think it was a letter he wrote, Rahimahullah, to a people answering a question. If a person goes to a location, he is staying there for some time, he can stay for as long as I'm a traveler here. I'm not staying here. But when he comes here to stay, what will he do? He'll be observing his salah food. This is what appears clear to me now. There is no proof to really limit the stay. As he has said, it's a la aslan. To limit the stay, that if you stay for 4 months, 4 days, then you must begin to complete your salah. He stayed for 19 days. He stayed for 20. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what matters is musafir and non-musafir. If you are mukim, if you are musafir, kosum. If you are mukim, tutim, you complete your salah. I think this appears to be the strongest view now. That is also the view that the author of Sahih Fiqh al-Sunnah Abu Malik held. That's apparently the view of Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani also. What matters is, who are you? Are you musafir or mukim? If you are mukim, you complete your salah. If you are musafir, you reduce your salah to be 2 rakat. So who will rule for us in this matter? Who will rule for us, for each of us? Who will give us the ruling of what to do? This is so that you don't start asking me, oh, I came here, I want to pray 2 rakat. I want to stay here in 2 weeks. What will I be doing? You are the mufti of yourself. What are you doing here? What you are doing here will answer your question. Are you traveling? Or you have come to stay? Some brothers will say, oh, let me go and look for a job in Oshogbo. Once I get the job, I will stay there. You have pinned your stain to getting a job. So for yourself, you have outlined 2 regimes. The regime before you get a job, and the regime after you get a job. So for the first regime, what will you be doing? Because from after you get a job, what will you be doing? You see now? So ulama, one of the scholars say what Allah says is that, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ. If you are on a journey, musafir, regarding Sawm Ramadan. So if you are not on a journey, then you are not entitled. The same thing applies to Salatul Qasr. إِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. When you go on the earth, when you stop going on the earth. So there are only 2 things, musafir and mukim. The staying person and the traveling person. If you are staying, you pray full. If you are traveling, you pray. So who will help us to answer what we will do? I go to Zaria to pick a certificate after graduating from AB. When you get to AB, which salah will you perform? To perform, because when they ask you, have you come to stay? I say, no, I just quickly came to collect myself. Oh, I just quickly came to do clearance. As people say, sometimes when you see some people who should have graduated on campus, so what are you saying? Oh, no, I just quickly came to do clearance. You are musafir, pray course. What did you came to do? I came to start my MSc. You are now part of us here. You see, this is how this issue will be changing. Man ajma'a al-iqama wa man lam yujma' al-iqama. The one who intends to stay and the one who does not intend to stay. Let me give us another example. A man has his wife in Ibadan. He is staying in Oshogbo. If he goes to visit her in Ibadan, what will he be doing? He'll be making custom. So when brother say, I think better than he say. What will he say? Say no, mukawawo, idea new. Cool? I'm not saying, I just came to see my wife. So what salah will he be observing? Kosa. You Umu now told you one day, Abu, say, I'm feeling lonely, say, come and start staying here now. There is work too in Ibadan. Say, you know the way women will want to convince you, come and stay. One blunt truth is that you can't eat your cake and have it. Women like to have the husbands near them. And that is the correct thing. It's a basic rule about marriage. The man has his wife, the wife has her husband. Not the whole, they are with themselves. This is the absolute about marriage. But there is a time to go and look for what to eat. It's a big reality our younger women now are not facing. The younger sisters now, they want Abu to be in house for 24 hours. Our younger brothers who have married, true or false? Very true. So, Abu now says, okay, you have been saying yes. Meanwhile, before she told Abu to come and stay with her, she has already organized with her relatives. Maybe those ones are in Ibadan. That I want to convince my husband to come to Ibadan. So the brother will now say, the good brother, very good brother will now say, let me make istikhara first. So he makes two rakats and Allah push his mind to to Ibadan. He said, I think to stay in Ibadan is good. Say, ah, otikbari. But what work will I now be doing? Say, ah, my uncle has one kinika, or my uncle knows one somebody somewhere in one place. They just get the moment when Abu changes his mind, I am now here. Which salah will he now be observing? He observes salah food. So just get a lot of examples, try to answer the question with this basic rule. When you are a traveling person, you pray to person. When you are a resident, you have a stay, you intend to do a stay there, you observe your salah food. This is the basic rule regarding this matter. Allahu Alam. I think if you go back to Sahih al-Sunnah, the author was good enough, inshallah. And that view was, he mentioned those amongst the early Muslims that had views like this. He also referred to Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and others. Allahu Alam. Many times issues. Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, after stating 11 views, he couldn't say which one is stronger. He left it like that. Allahumma yajwe. Rahimahullah. Ibn Abdul Barr al-Namr. One of the most learned people who have come in this religion. He cited all of these. He has a tawhid. When I say most, one of the most learned, some people say, hey, how do you know? Huh? He has some of the best works in this ummah. Like his work at tawhid. At tawhid occurs in how many volumes? In 28 volumes. It's a sharh of Muwatta Imam Malik. He now did a summary of that, a summary of At-Tamhid. He did it in a book he titled Al-Istizkar. My own copy of Al-Istizkar occurs in 25 volumes. A summary. Wallahi, if you are reading Al-Istizkar, you will not feel that it's a summary of At-Tamhid. You will think that it's a new book altogether. I always wonder when he says that it's Mukhtasar for Tawhid. He now has a sharh of Muwatta again. He has four works on Muwatta, Ibn Abdul Barr, An-Namri. He was Muhaddith, he was Faqih, he was Qari Quran. And he was upon the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ibn Abdul Barr. Abu Yusuf. He was a very learned person. After all these views, he left it like that. So I wish that I had just said it all and leave it like that. What will we say to us? Hey, you have not clarified it. So what we should do, should we do? So we looked for the statement of one of those who had done something that is closer to what we see to be correct, inshallah, we tell you. So don't be surprised. We can come tomorrow again and think another way again. We will tell you that one too. Till a week ago, when we started Salatul Safar, I was telling us 19 days ago. See me now, I have changed my views. If I have another thing to study and see that I can change this view, I will change it. One of the scholars wrote a book in about 250 pages. Why is it that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, on one single matter, he can have four opinions? Because they were studying every day and finding out new things. So if today they find this, that's what, if you ask them today, that's what they will tell you. If in another 2-3 years, you ask them again, they found something else. If you listen to Silsilatul Huda wa Nur, there's a mas'ala like that. And I felt very bad. I wept on the first day I listened to it. It was about talaq. If a person divorces his wife when she's menstruating, Will that salat be counted against him or not? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was extensive in about 25 to 30 pages in Al-Fatawa, insisting that it will not be counted against him, that that nikah is null and void. If a woman, a man divorces his wife when she's menstruating, Ibn Taymiyyah says it's null and void. Because it is talaq bid'i, you shouldn't divorce a woman when she's menstruating. Okay. And Sheikh Ahmad Muhammad Shakir also came to write extensively a whole book on it, saying that it is null and void. So Sheikh Al-Albani took that opinion, rahimahullah. In that audio, the brother asked Sheikh Al-Albani, what is the ruling on that? He says, that talaq will be counted against the person. He said, what is the proof? He cited an asar from Abdullah ibn Umar. Because Abdullah ibn Umar was the person who divorced his wife when she was menstruating. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Murru Abdullah ibn Umar, falyuraji'ha. Command Abdullah ibn Umar to take that woman back. Umar radiallahu anhu went to his and said, oh, my being caught, see now. Meanwhile, it was Umar who commanded him to divorce the woman. He was rejecting. He was hesitating. Umar radiallahu anhu went to report him to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Messenger, I told this boy to divorce his wife. He refused. You know what Ibn Umar told his father? I like the woman and she's good to me. Subhanallah. Ibn Umar, his father said, I said divorce her. So he went to report Ibn Umar to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, call him. When Ibn Umar came, he says, Ittabi abaka, follow your father. He just heard it, he went to the house and gave the woman talaq. He didn't even ask her condition. It now happened that the woman was menstruating. Umar radiallahu anhu quickly came to the Prophet again. Prophet, this boy does not know how to divorce a woman. He's divorcing a woman when she's in menstruating. So Basha Wani asked for Baba Yen Teliwaki. Baba Yok Mamini. But these companions are above that. Radiallahu anhu. That's why ulama say, if your father is a father like Umar, if he is an Umar-like father, follow him like that. Why if he's not a father like Umar, whose consideration for you will be consideration of what? Deen. 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 And then he may not be able to explain to you what he has seen. Follow your father. So they asked Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, was that divorce counted against you? And he said, Kayfala, why not? This is the proof of Sheikh Al-Albani. That Ibn Umar, who divorced his wife when she was menstruating, the divorce was counted against him, even though it is null and void. He is sahibul kissa. Wa huwa rawi al-hadith. Wa rawi adra bima rawa. Then his statement is overriding the statement of who? Anybody. That when that divorce was counted against him, who was the guide of Ibn Umar on that talaq? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was following him up. Not just the Prophet. His father too was watching. How was he divorcing? To ensure that that divorce was correct. So when Sheikh Al-Albani gave this answer, rahimahullah, that brother said, but I asked you this question 15 years ago. You gave me another answer. I wept when I heard it. Because it was extensive, explaining, not as if to Allahu Alam. Why, 15 years ago, you asked a man a question. And you think that he should still remain there 15 years after. He could have changed. I didn't like the manner of the questioning. He said, but I asked you 15 years ago, this same question. You said the divorce should not be counted of him, but it is no longer. You know what Sheikh Al-Albani said? He said, Kunna ittabana Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah fi zalik. We were following Ibn Taymiyyah in that. He said, but when I gathered the asanid of the hadith, in Irwal Galil. And it became clear to me that the isnad of the hadith that Ibn Umar said that that divorce was counted against him is sahih. فَقُلْنَا بِمُوجِبِهِ. So don't be surprised if a man has a view one day, he changes it. So if you can Albani in 15 years to change the view, we can change it in 15 minutes. May Allah forgive all of us. We are just saying what we have seen. And that's the essence of referring to the text. Maybe if you go back to it, Allah will make you see the matter in another way. May Allah forgive all of us. Al-Imam al-Shawkani says, Rahimahullah, the time is fast spent, but we would like to end this bab today, inshallah. It says, وَلَّهُ الْجَمْعُ تَقْدِيمًا وَتَأْخِيرًا. The traveling person has the choice to make jam'u taqdim and jam'u ta'khir. You can combine zuhr and asr at the time of zuhr, that is taqdim. You can combine zuhr and asr at the time of asr, that is what? Ta'khir. Ta'khir means postponing the two. Taqdim means bringing the two forward. You bring asr to the time of zuhr. But if it is ta'akhir, akharta, al-zuhr, you will postpone zuhr to the time of asr, or postpone maghrib to the time of isha. There are ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam regarding that. We'll read one of them and proceed. And that's the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. It occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. Says, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iza ajila bihi sayr. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his journey requires that, he moves fast. Jama'a bayna al-maghrib wal-isha. He will combine between maghrib and isha. Wa fi riwayat, in the riwayah of Salim ibn Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, yu'akhiru salat al-maghrib. He will delay salat al-maghrib. Hatta yajma'a baynaha wa bayna salat al-isha. Such that he can combine Salat al-Maghrib and Salat al-Isha. This jamu is called what? Ta'khir. Why did he make ta'khir? He required to move along. So instead of stopping, pray Maghrib, stopping again, pray Isha. Let's go. I'm a key Maghrib wa later in the day. So this is jamu ta'khir. And don't forget that in hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari on Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made at Arafah. What kind of jamu will you make? H-O-F. What kind of jam'u will you make at Arafah? At the time of zuhur, what will you do? You perform zuhur and asr. That occurs in the hadith of Jabir. So you see, at Arafah you make taqdim. You make zuhur and asr. Cool? At the time of which salah? Zuhur. But when you get to Muzdalifah, if you get to Muzdalifah, what will you do? You observe it ta'khiran. You are going to delay your maghrib to the time of Isha. Because the most probable thing is that you will not get to Muzdalifah, except that, of course, you are not to leave Arafah until Ghurub al-Shams. Ghurub al-Shams is the time for maghrib. So to akhirul maghrib, you postpone maghrib till Muzdalifah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people were telling him, Messenger of Allah, Salatul Maghrib, I was telling them, Musallakum Hunak, the place for that salah is there. Where is that? Muzdalifah. And that will be at the time of Isha, because when they were in Arafah, it was already Maghrib before they left Arafah. They did not pray Maghrib at Arafah, they had to move to Muzdalifah. What kind of jamu will that be? Ta'akhir. But at Arafah itself, they brought Salatul Asri forward to the time of Salatul Zuhr. What kind of jamu is that? Takdim. And on both occasions, they make, like Al-Imam Shawkani said, the azan in wa iqamatayn. One azan and what? Two iqamas. One azan for the two, and for each of them will make iqama. So those are the proofs for these points that Al-Imam Shawkani has mentioned. And I think it will suffice for us on the issues of Safar. It will suffice, inshallah, on Babu Salati Safar. So he says, Rahimahullah, يَجِبُ الْقَصْرُ عَلَى مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَلَدِهِ قَاصِدًا لِلسَّفَرِ وَإِنْ كَانَ دُونَ بَرِيدٍ وَإِذَا أَقَامَ بِبَلَدٍ مُتَرَدِّدًا قَصَرَ إِلَى 20 يَوْمًا
وإذا عزم على إقامة أربع أتم بعدها وله الجمع تقديما وتأخيرا بأذان وإقامتين.
I hope that this verb is clear. The next verb we'll have to be reading is which verb?
باب صلاة الخسوفين.
باب صلاة الخسوفين. The chapter regarding the two prayers of eclipse.
Osadoru.
Isn't that how your people call it?
Osadoru.
Osadoru kaka.
Osukabo orun male ni osadoru.
But the way they are correcting that is that what we know of Osan is Dou, brightness. So when instead of seeing brightness, we are now seeing darkness, and it is not rain. So from Wawadu, so this is the reason they have called it by what they have seen. So there is solar, special solar regarding that sky. How are we going to observe that solar? Solar to Lukusufay. Inshallah, we'll discuss this from our next class. Inshallah. He said he has sunnatu. Many of the scholars believe that it is wajiba. We'll come to it. The Salatul Khusuf, Imam Shawkani, and Imam Shawkani said that it is sunni. But the correct view, inshallah, is that it is wajiba. Quick. Inshallah, we'll come back to that. Because the Prophet ordered us to perform it. And the actual level, the orders of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is lil wujub. We'll come back to that, inshallah. I think we can go on with our questions now, briefly, even if it is one or two before we leave. Don't ask me if you travel to a town, what will you do? You are the Mufti now. Mufti. Please don't be annoyed. Everybody today is Mufti. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Ameen. Lautech operates two teaching hospitals. Where are you living? Okay. You are living in Oshogbo because your campus is here. That's where you are living. Forget about it because. You what? The minimum time you can spend in a posting. So are you going to, you want to change your residence to Gomasho? Will you change your residence or you are just going for that assignment and coming? If someone asks you, are you living in the Gomasho now, what will you say? I told you that the Mufti. So, alaykum as-salam. The question has ended. Now? Okay. Someone is a charming person. He met Mukimu, they want to pray. He started praying. He met them on the third rakah. He will stand up and complete four rakahs. If a traveler prays behind a Mukim, an imam that is a resident, you pray four rakahs. The best of those opinions are from two companions, Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar. No companion has a view different from this, as the ulama have said. So we will not take any other person's opinion and leave their own. Ameen. Although there are other opinions too. In fact, Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir said, if you think there is no any other opinion, the person is far away from knowledge. But those opinions are not like these ones from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Umar. Now, somebody has two wives. One is in Lagos, one is in Ogumaso. Where is he living? Where is he living?
those who are in NYC, there is something you used to say, one leg up, one leg down. So one leg up in Lagos, one leg down in the other leg up again, the other leg down. Before he started doing that, where was his two legs? He must determine where he is living. One leg, I'll spend 1 week here. I'll spend, you know where you are living. The second one, you'll be observing cost through there. The first one, where you know you are living, you'll be observing the solar pool there. Ma ja'ala Allahu li rajulin min qalbayni fi jawfi. Someone sent a message to me that Ibrahim Niyas at Singali. Sheu Ibrahim Niyas at Singali. Niyas. As they say, I'm just saying it in a way so that you know what I want to talk about. You know, there are a lot of lies regarding the karamat that he had. So someone compiled those lies and sent them to me. Many times I don't reply to messages like that. But this one, I sat down, I replied him. He said one day, Ibrahim Niyas was in Hajj. And then he appeared in Singal again in Kaulah. He was observing Salah in Makkah. He was also in Singal again. They were seeing him like this physically. I think it's a lie. One is him, one is a jinn that has come to deceive you if it has actually happened like this. One is him, Gogo. The other one is what? The jinn. I will evidence this with one verse of the Quran and two incidences. The verse of the Quran is this verse in Ahzab that I read. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah did not give any single individual two hearts in his body. So if you say it is him, then how many hearts will he have? So you want us to not accept the verse of the Quran because you want to praise Ibrahim Niyas. Allah didn't give anybody two hearts. So if you claim that he is the real one, and he's a person as the first and the second one are a real person, then you are a liar. One is correct, one is a jinn appearing to you, if it has ever happened like that. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah in Al-Farq Bayna Awliya'i Rahman wa Awliya'i Shaytan, he narrated an incident that happened in Misr. He himself said regarding himself that many times a jinn will appear in his form. When he sees me, he says, this one is looking like me, but you are not me. I am Ahmad. You are a liar. Ikhwa, do you understand? Like someone walks in here now looking like me. Wears the cloth like me, everything, the voice like me. And then he sits here with me like this. Then he's a lot. Afa Ahmad, maybe ever me. Yoruba. Yoruba. If it were my brothers in the north, they may not run away. Hausa ni masalo. Hausa ni masalo. Suba Yoruba. Allah zume juko ko jade. It can happen like that one day. Kema pe kan wa mejeji okuro ni. One is real, one is a lie. He can say he want okuro me. He can tell, he can be challenging me like that. It, many things happen like this. Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimahullah, that jinn, that Sufi Shehu, his jinn told him to tell the people that if he dies, Shehu Baku, it is Shehu that will give himself the funeral bath. Do you understand? If Shehu dies, the dead Shehu will come again to bath the dead Shehu. How many Shehus will we have? one dead, one beating the dead one. Shaitan deceived that Shehu till he died. When he died truly, they just saw somebody. They were gathered upon his, they left his dead body outside. They were waiting because the Shehu told his Muridi to, they don't touch me, oh. You know what that meant? He will make them believe that there is a comeback. He will make them belie that verse of the Quran. He will make the people not make the ghusl, which is fard, kifaya on them. They will lose that fard, and they will be punished for it, if Allah wills, for leaving that fard. The people will not participate in his janazah. So they will leave him like that. They may not even bury him. That those days we carry him and go say, oh, don't worry, we will go and bury him. You stay in the house. So the jinn did that too. He came, but before he touched the dead corpse, he went into the house to cohabit with the wives of the dead man first. Oops, he went to scatter that one. Then he came out, was washing the shehu, the re-shehu, dead shehu. So the jinn succeeded in deceiving the man to his death and deceiving the muridi of the shehu, because they will believe it. They will believe it. There is nothing you want to say. They will say, aha, you never see anything. Zohiri lemae ma bati. I would like to stop here with a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad. And Muqaddima, Kharij al-Muqaddima of Sahih Muslim, he said alayhi salatu wa salam that the akhir zaman, yati ala nasi shaytanum. Shaytan will come to the people. وَيُحَدِّثُكُمْ بِمَا لَا تَعْرِفُونَ أَنْتُمْ وَلَا أَبَاؤُكُمْ. Shaitan will be coming to tell people in the form of humans. He will be telling us what we never known before in the deen, and they will say it is part of the deen. We never knew. Even the early Muslims who came don't know that. But they will be lying to us about the deen. This is what these people have become. So don't let there be a lie about that. So if a man has two wives, don't forget from where we went. He left one wife in Lagos. He left one wife in Ibadan. Oh, Gomasho. The two wives now say, wallahi, wallahi, we see our husband. One is here with me. The other woman too say, one is here with me. The women should know that one of them is with a jinn. It is the second one that is real husband. Something has happened. Don't deceive yourself. And the jinns, all of their intention is to mislead the people. Make them become enemies of Allah. Make them become those who will disregard the verses of the Quran and ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So whatever the case, if a man is resident in Ibadan, he has a wife in Ibadan, he has a wife in Lagos, he should determine where he is resident. When he's there, he observes the salah fully. When he goes to the other wife that is on Sabbatica, wherever, he should observe his salah in Qasr. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Ameen wa anta. Okay.